Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready for truly hydrated skin? Meet Hyaluronic Body Serum, a breakthrough in body care from Osea. It's clinically proven to instantly increase hydration by 161%. Their lightweight, fast-absorbing serum delivers 24 hours of nonstop hydration for silky, smooth skin without the sticky afterfeel. Osea's latest innovation combines the magic of their best-selling Hyaluronic C Serum with a new formula that's good for the whole body and 5 types of hyaluronic acid to target every layer of the skin. Osea is a woman-founded, women-led brand that's been crafting seaweed-powered products for nearly 30 years. The best part? Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast, taking the meringue of humour, the whipped cream of good times, the raspberries of chuckles, and mashing them all up into a big old eaten mess.
That is Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster. This is the Off Menu Podcast, and we welcome a guest into our dream restaurant every single week and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish, and drink, not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Jordan Gray. Jordan Gray is a wonderful comedian and musical genius.
Musical genius, probably. If you've ever seen her perform, it's pretty phenomenal. I don't know. We're recording this episode. We have to record all of our episodes in big batches, let them out one by one as the year rolls by. I think there's going to be quite a gap between us recording this and releasing it.
Yep.
Who knows the projects that Jordan's got out now? Because I know there's a lot of projects in the works. So
she's busy.
Don't know what to promote at this stage.
Just promote Jordan.
Go and see Jordan's stand-up if you can. And Jordan's podcast, Transplaining, which is available on all wherever you get your podcasts.
All your poddy platforms.
Yeah, yeah.
Go and listen to that. But honestly, just go and check out whatever she's doing. She's brilliant. Very much looking forward to talking to her today, James, about food.
However, even though we're very much looking forward to talking to Jordan about food, if Jordan says the secret ingredient, an ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable, we will have to kick her out of the dream restaurant.
Bye-bye, Jordan.
And this week, the secret ingredient is quail.
Now, it's a tricky one, this. Jordan's show, her sort of breakthrough show, is called Is It a Bird?
Yeah.
Quail is a bird.
We thought, let's think of a bird.
Yeah. Quail is a bird. Now, I like quail.
Of course.
But it does annoy me because it's tiny. So I often think I'd like that if it was big, but that is basically a chicken. The bones are tiny. So you try and get more meat and then you're eating these tiny little bones.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying we are justified to put quail on.
I hate tiny little bones. Also, we've put quail eggs in the past as a secret ingredient. So I think, you know, by association, that the quail that's causing that. We wouldn't have quail eggs.
Quail causes the eggs.
If it wasn't for the quail. And I know people are now going to be like, well, what came first? Listen, that's not the point.
No.
We definitely wouldn't have quail eggs if it wasn't for quails popping them out.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, just by association, a quail becomes a secret ingredient.
That's
also
fine. Bang. Quail is the secret ingredient. If Jordan says quail, she's out on her ear.
Sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry, not sorry.
This is the Off Menu Menu of Jordan Gray.
Jordan Gray.
Welcome, Jordan, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thanks. It's nice here. Lovely.
Welcome, Jordan Gray, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
This is nice, Dream Restaurant. Thanks for having me in your Dream Restaurant. This is proper nice. Not met you before, Ed. Maybe very briefly.
Very excited to meet you.
Thanks.
And straight in.
Didn't know this.
Very briefly met James before. And if I may quickly recap it, because you get a chance
to
repeat history.
I love this.
Fair enough.
What happened is, we met at a little charity gig. It was really nice, and first time I met him, and in he walks, I'm like, oh, there he is. And a man I deeply admire, but I didn't want him to know that, so yeah. I'm like being all aloof in the corner. And then I really wanted to say, like, oh, thanks for that little cis boy sketch that you did, because I'm transgender, and it's like really nice. So I waited all night, and then I didn't get really a chance to see your set, and at the end I just come up, and I was like, I wanted to say, James, thanks for that cis boy sketch, but what I said was, thanks, cis boy. and then you very sweetly was like, what? And I was like, and then I just went, thanks for everything you've done for the transgender community. And then I just ran away. And it must have been baffling for you. But
I
you're
wish
very
you just
gracious
stuck with
it.
Thanks, cis boy. That's yeah. so funny.
I love thanks, cis boy. Yeah. I was like, oh, cheers.
Like it's a power move. Thanks, cis boy.
That's how everyone refers to me, actually. I didn't even notice.
Yeah,
everyone on the bill was saying that when
thanks,
I turned
cis boy.
Up. It's a cis boy.
That's great.
You had such a good gig that night as well.
I do love a gig and like them when they're nice. Thanks for saying that.
They were very nice.
It was good. The tech was all over the place. And as a musical comedian, that's annoying because it's sort of a binary system. If the tech doesn't work and you're a musical comedian, there is not a performance. But it's all right.
Here's my question about your live performances. Have you ever fallen over?
Yeah.
Because you do stuff where you stand really precariously.
Up on the stool.
On the keyboard. And I was like, surely that's gone wrong before.
Definitely, and in the most embarrassing way, one time. So I get, there's no surprise at this point, I get nude at the end of my hour. Mm-hmm. And I did that in Coventry and I fell off nude off my keyboard and landed on my wrists backwards. So I'm just there with these floppy wrists, nude. Everything about me is flopping at that point, basically. And it's like, and it was painful, but you can't be nude and in pain. You have to like just suck it up.
Yeah.
So I'm just making it. It's fine. I mean, this is an audio medium. You can't see, but I'm flopping. You know, I'm
T-Rex
standing
hands.
There. Little T-Rex hands. But life's just really short, so it's all right. It's fine. I'm not embarrassed enough to not talk about it with you.
No, absolutely not. I mean, that is not the first time someone's fallen naked on a keyboard in Coventry.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
This city was built on it. That kind of behaviour.
So you said the Dream Restaurant is nice when you came in.
That's,
now,
yeah.
Obviously, the Dream Restaurant exists within the minds of the guest diners. So what are you seeing when you walk into the Dream Restaurant?
It's quiet.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people there. People perhaps have pictures of people I admire more so than them actually being there. I don't want to interact with them.
Oh,
like
that's good. So what other, some other cis boys?
It's just all cis boys everywhere. So I like to be reminded of the past. Yeah. Like the nostalgia of cisgender people everywhere. And I'm the only transgender person there because you can only have one of us in a room at a time.
That's the rules.
Fight to the death. Course three is the transgender person you've just murdered in a dystopian fantasy.
Can't wait to get to that.
Lots of nice cis people, but that's irrelevant. Just nice faced people that I like and I look up and be reminded of all that while I'm enjoying a meal. That's nice. Like a television, I think, as well. I think it's TV on the screen.
No one's had a TV.
No one's had a TV.
Mike Skinner had his phone watching YouTube.
Yeah.
while he was eating. I guess he didn't think to have a TV.
Yeah, big TV.
But you'd have option. A TV.
Yeah, like, I don't know what happened to kebab shops with TVs playing in the corner all the time, but that was... That's nostalgic, isn't it?
People throw their kebabs at the screen, I think, was the main problem.
I just remember, oh, God, do you remember? I mean, Hurricane Katrina, it was a big thing. And I remember being drunk in a kebab shop and seeing it on TV. And somebody, it had been weeks of coverage, and some guy goes, oh, who bloody cares? And I was really drunk. And I just went into full, like, Captain America mode. And I was like, maybe our transatlantic cousins care. All the ones that don't. And then we just got in a fight in a kebab shop. It was so stupid. And I'm not that sort of person at all. I just got really patriotic for a country I don't live in. And I was like...
Quite a good reason to have the fight.
Yeah.
A lot of people are just having fights because people have looked at them funny. You were defending the people of New Orleans.
It was. And it was not really. It was one of them fights like, what, do you remember when Homer Simpson fought that boxer in the thing? And he don't really fight, just stands there. And that's all that happened. I stood there and took lots of beatings without falling down while continuously being like, their families, that's who cares.
That's great.
Yeah.
But hopefully that won't happen in the Dream Restaurant, unless you want to have a fight in the Dream Restaurant.
No, I'd like to keep things civil and peaceful and tasty. A television in a corner. Don't have to be a big one.
What do you want on the television?
I'd like access to all the sitcoms of all time. A sort of a hybrid streaming service with all the sitcoms, so I can flick at my leisure. Mm-hmm. 30 Rock on repeat would be good for me while I'm eating. I enjoyed that while I'm eating.
Ed did that as his specialist subject in Mastermind.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't
just
see that.
It would be a good excuse to just watch all of them again.
That's wonderful. All right, that's what I'm watching when I get home. That's it. That's the answer. I want to see that on repeat for my time because it's not a long meal and they're hour-long episodes. I aren't like Mastermind. Mm. So you on Mastermind.
Brilliant.
Doing 30 Rock. I'm having that. Mm.
Spoiler warning, I didn't win, Jordan.
Oh. Very rare.
All right, we'll buy the dessert. We'll switch over to a different channel.
Very rare for Ed not to win. Ed, can you remember any of the questions you had? See if Jordan can.
I don't think I can, you know. I did okay on 30 Rock. There was one about which city does Jason Sudeikis' character move to?
Yeah.
To move away from New York.
Fucking hell, I do. Not Philly. Oh, it's really funny. They've got the Rock and Roll Museum and stuff. Oh. And there's a whole song about it, and it mentions it in the song.
Great. I love it.
God damn it.
If you have no idea, or if you've got it straight away, not entertaining for me at all.
But
this
it's
is
just
perfect.
Hanging in the balance.
Clearly on the tip of your tongue.
The Montauk. I can get the song, but I'm sorry, I don't know.
I tell you what, here's some extra pressure on you.
Yeah.
We now know that Tina Fey listens to this podcast.
Really?
So you, she's listening to it right now.
Okay, we don't
know that. She's listening to you. Get this. What?
We don't know that.
We know that.
She came to the Christmas live show.
She came to our live show.
That's bloody wonderful.
Yeah, we were
She came with her family.
Oh. Yes.
So it might be a member of her family who listens to it.
Bullshit.
And also, the live show was absolute chaos. I'd imagine if she did listen to it, there's absolutely no way she listens to it.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Everyone who was at those live shows doesn't listen to it anymore. That whole audience are no longer listening to the podcast. To be honest, we burned a lot of bridges.
Cleveland.
Congratulations. We always start with still or sparkling water. Do you have a preference?
Yeah, I can't imagine why anyone would go out and order anything but sparkling because I can have still at home on tap. And that literally on tap.
So what I've really enjoyed about this part of the pod is that people often lead up to their answer with, well, obviously... But it's always different. Well, it's obviously one of two. But
it's sort of all half always the same, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but always the person is like, clearly this.
Yeah, why?
Why would anyone else choose the other one? So for you, it's because you couldn't get sparkling at home.
Yeah, but I can't imagine a person saying still because obviously. What's an obvious reason to have still water in a restaurant?
Thirst, I guess.
People who don't like sparkling properly think it tastes rank. Like, they think it's horrible. It's like someone's farted in your water. All this kind of stuff.
We've had all the reasons, haven't
we? Yeah, so many reasons that people are like, why would anyone ever, out of choice, drink that? But then, conversely, we have like the, it's obviously, it's fancier to have the sparkle. It's nice, you want a night out, you want to do this. You know, so it's always, people just think, I think people don't know how strong everyone else's opinions are about water until they come on this pod.
Would you have sparkling? You could have sparkling at home.
I could. I suppose it's going out of my way, whereas I'm here at this restaurant at your behest. A bubbly water, it's like a party in my mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one that's there, but I'm enjoying the bubbles.
Yeah. Well, there's pictures on the walls of your mouth of other people who you like.
I want pictures of everyone having just had a sip of sparkling water and they didn't realise it was sparkling. It's all my favourite people going, spit coming out. That'd be nothing.
Are you at the party in your mouth or are you the party in your mouth?
Yes. Good question.
Saying, have I administrated and invited everyone to a party in my mouth? Am I at my own mouth party?
When you drink the sparkling water, it is a party in your mouth, but are you a guest at that party or are you simply the venue?
Yeah.
You're right. No, I'm the venue. Yeah. I'm up in an office counting the money at my own party. Yeah. I took money on the door and then I'm in a dark corner at the party in my own mouth. Yeah,
that's quite sad, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, you're right.
Do you think you could recognise your own mouth from the inside? if you woke up and you were inside a mouth and someone said, guess whose mouth this is?
It definitely wouldn't be my first. I wouldn't have thought I'm in my own. In fact, of all the mouths, if I woke up in a mouth, the last mouth I'd think was this.
That's the least likely mouth to be in, isn't it?
Because mine's here. However, if I did this and then a giant finger appeared in front of me,
that's brilliant.
I'd be like, that's my mouth.
That'd be insane, actually.
Yeah, that would be mad.
To be able to do that.
Yeah.
Wrap your head around that.
And then behind... Here's what happened. This is, layer three of the mouth inception party. Is you put your finger in, I see a giant finger, And then the minute I touch that giant finger, I feel a tiny me in my own mouth. And it's a little me having a party in my mouth.
Oh, yeah. And it'd go on and on and on. Past the big finger touching you, you'd be able to see your mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Brilliant.
Yes, you would. You would be able to see the inside of your mouth again. Jeez.
Oh, I can see why you picked sparkling water now.
Yeah. This is great. it's an amazing
choice. It's an effervescent theory. And yeah. You don't get that with H2O.
I get the impression that if you could have a tap in your house that had sparkling water coming out of it, you would say yes to it. Or would you say no because it would ruin going out?
No, you're right. I'd have one. A soda stream. Yeah. Definitely, yeah. The going out is the hassle of it all.
You've got to be careful with soda streams. They don't work very well.
James had a soda stream and he's very thick, so he didn't know how to work it properly.
What happens? You put milk in it or something.
I wish. That was the plan long term. I didn't even get that far. They don't work. They're faulty.
He never screwed it in properly, so every time you pumped it up, it went everywhere.
Oh, you have to manually pump it as well.
Yeah.
I always just assumed it was an
You got a button thing. You like got to pump it to get you basically still water. Screw it in, you know, three times just to make sure it's secure. Press the button a few times and then it puts gas into the water.
That's silly. That's really silly. That's like just a few steps removed from a clown seltzer bottle. You've got to do it yourself.
Yeah, ridiculous. Yeah. I'm working for the man.
The sparkling water man.
I shouldn't be having to do that. Yeah. I'm working for Big Sparkling. they should be doing that for me.
Yeah. Well, you can just buy sparkling water.
Oh, my mug. Going to go there, pay for it myself, do it. I want to get a soda stream and you want to just pour, ideal world, and I think Jordan agrees with me.
Yeah.
You just pour the water into the soda stream at the top and it just comes out the bottom sparkling is what you want.
Mm.
That's what you want, like a Willy Wonka kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I want an element of whimsy about my beverages, every beverage I drink.
Too whimsical. Living in a dream world over here. Living in your own mouth. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Some of us are realists.
Yeah. You'll never entertain such things.
No. Push the button a few times. Lovely.
Me and James bumping on the ceiling of a moving fan because we've had our lovely effervescent bubbles. Living the dream up there. Oh, Willy Wonka,
we're going to get bollocked for this later.
You slugworth down there with your little still water.
I am the slugworth of this podcast, actually.
You're a little slugworth whispering in everyone's ears. And then at the end, it's revealed you were a goodie all along. That's going to be the twist of the off-menu podcast eventually. Everyone discovers Ed was actually all right.
Oh.
At the end.
Well, that makes me put the rest of it in perspective.
Well, a lot of people come up to me on the street going, Ed's the baddie.
Yeah. And then what do you say?
I'll say, well, you wait till the end.
No, you don't.
I said,
you put your headphones on, you pull your jacket up and you walk away without saying anything.
Yes. Of course I do. Pop-a-dums on bread. Pop-a-dums on bread, Jordan Gray. Pop-a-dums on bread.
Pop-a-dums, yeah. Wait, hang on. No, bread. Because I've got confused. Sorry, I was so committed.
You got confused.
I got confused between what poppadoms and naan is. Naan, very much a bread, and I love me a naan. Yeah. Is it right to say naan bread?
Yeah.
Well, then a naan, yeah, absolutely. And plain as well. I don't need any additions.
No faffing.
That's a meal on its own is a lovely naan bread, cooked properly.
Yeah. Have you tried the other ones and they're just not for you? The other naans?
Is pashwari a meat?
No, keema's the meat one.
Oh, so I'm vegetarian. So
Peshwari is like the really sweet coconutty one.
Oh, that's a bit much. I think that's sickly.
It's mad. Some people love it.
But even
as a sweet tooth boy, getting a Peshwari naan at the start, I'm like, this is bananas, isn't it?
Yeah, if combined sort
it's
of
coconut.
Starter, main and dessert into one.
As soon as I said it, Jordan, as soon as I said this is bananas, I knew I've opened myself up there to know it's coconut.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not proud of myself.
I mean, a banana naan's great because it's a built-in pun. It's just a banana, but you add an extra A wherever you like.
Banana.
It works written down.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you tweet that, absolutely go nuts.
Yeah.
Say it out loud on a date, getting nothing, mate.
Banana. I've put an extra A in.
Who was the lead singer of No Doubt that went solo?
Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani. Oh, yeah.
Fuck her up a little bit, wouldn't it? B-A-N-A-A-N-A-S. Start again.
With the rhyme scheme.
This bread is bananas. B-A-N-A-A-N. Yeah, it's hard. That is hard.
Start, yeah.
Pharrell having to pause the recording. Gwen, how wedded are you to this pun? Be honest.
Because people aren't aware of banana nuns existing. Yeah. So
it's a niche product at this point. We're not launching that. That's not our job.
Imagine if you were launching the banana nun.
Yeah.
Obviously, you would have to do it with that song.
Yeah.
I do that as the jingle to promote it. But you'd have to do it in a different time signature. I believe it's It's in 4/4, but you would have to.
Yeah.
At least that's at least a bar of 4 and a bar of 5 following each other.
I was going to say, yeah, collabing with some obscure mathcore band. Yeah. I got their big break because we need a 6/7 time signature.
There's a lot of music chat flying around that I don't know about. I don't know 4/4 and 5/5 and stuff.
Jordan, you don't, maybe you don't know it on the surface, but you know it in your heart because 4/4 is basically most songs.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're boogieing, it's 4/4. If you're doing a sort of little sway, it's probably in 3/4.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, I've never boogied or done a little sway.
I've seen you boogie and sway. Don't be so modest.
And do I boogie and sway more to 4/4 or the other ones?
You boogie to the 4/4, yeah. You sway to the 3/4.
Yeah.
And to those other ones, you listen to a lot of mathcore, a lot of tech metal bands.
Yeah.
And I normally have seen you sit and pensively watch them with an angry look on your face.
I don't look like I'm enjoying it, do I?
No, in your head, you're enjoying it.
But I am.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah.
Getting more and more wedded to this idea for the next. It's not good, quite a sketch, but as a tableau or something in a music video. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
There's so many layers.
It's good.
I guess you could try and eat a bit of banana naan and then the big banana naan comes in.
This naan is bananas. And then it just keeps going and going.
Yeah.
And it trails up into sort of like the ear of the echo and it just gets really discordant dystopian music as we get into the darkness. I'll say that then, if that's all right. I know that's sort of technically aside because it's not really an existing bread, but I'll say banana naan.
Oh, so we're going for
sparkling water and banana naan.
Banana naan.
It's a harrowing combination for
and
the milk.
And banana is spelt with the
N-E. Yes, it is.
So I think banana. So I'd go B-A-N-A-A-N-A. That's where I put the extra A. Be in that.
In the middle.
Yeah, banana.
Yeah, banana.
Like that helped by just saying
banana.
That's about right.
Yeah. Just for the person who's going to inevitably put it in the Wikipedia.
Well, where else would it go? The extra A can't go at the beginning.
No.
It's not going to be a banana.
It's not the alphabet.
Banana. Well,
but that doesn't say naan, does it? The whole point of the pun is it's got the word naan in the middle.
I'm just being crystal clear. I want to sort of be on the same page.
No one's muddy about that.
How to spell banana. Every time I hear holler back, I'm going to be thinking, this naan is bananas. I'm never going to think that. Is your dream starter an invention or is it a pre-existing dish?
It pre-exists. And I don't think there's any greater flavour combination in the world than tomato, basil and cheese. A caprese salad of anywhere I go, it's fresh and it's light. And they do a burrata caprese in Gaucho's in Soho that is the best caprese, perhaps the best thing I've ever eaten. And I think it's the way they reduce the jus. And I'm just going to throw the word jus out there like I know that
you've
it's
got to
a jus. I
think
it's
a jus now and again.
You've got to chuck it as you. I think it's like balsamic vinegar and brown sugar that they reduce down. So it's just a thick sauce on a very sparse amount of basil, quite a lot of tiny tomatoes, and then a burrata that's like a universe of cheese. Like, because a burrata is like a mozzarella, but with loads of little mozzarellas floating in some mozzarella juice inside, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
It's like a dinosaur egg or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Godzilla. It looks like the Godzilla eggs from the original the 90s Godzilla film.
Yeah.
On some tomato and jus. And it's absolutely bloody beautiful. And considering Gaucho's is a steak restaurant and I thought I was going to be sitting there eating salad, I was like, this is lovely.
Yeah, that's a treat. I mean, burrata is just the ultimate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Also, it's so rare to eat a whole cheese. So rare for someone to go, this is a dish for one person and it's a whole cheese and you've got to breach it.
I love breaches involved in any meal.
What the listeners don't know is that Ed, on the way here, was in, you were rear-ended.
Yes, I was,
And you're probably in, like, you know, survival mode in your head. So you're talking about breaching stuff and all that. You're very much
I don't think I'm in survival mode. I was in an Uber and
someone mentions someone cheese and you're like, we're going to breach the cheese!
It wasn't a bad accident or anything. Everyone's fine.
You got rear-ended though.
Yeah.
And you said it hurt your neck a bit because you've been wrestling yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, what an insight into my life.
It's life.
That now I'm talking about breach the cheese because I've hurt my neck a bit.
Yeah.
Wait, did you? The story I heard, which only happened 30 seconds after it happened to you via James, was that you hurt your neck in the Uber as well. You hurt your neck wrestling, and it's been compounded by the accident.
Exactly. Well, yesterday I did a couple of bumps in the ring, which is wrestling terminology, and it's not drugs.
It's like a 90s pop band.
Yeah.
bumps in the ring. Oh, lovely.
And I forgot to. One of the important things when you're wrestling is make sure you tuck your head in when you fall on the floor.
Right.
And I forgot that bit. So I was just sort of like a little bit of mild whiplash. And I thought, well, I'll have a day off that today. And then I got in an Uber that was rear-ended.
Tuck your head in like a turtle.
Not downwards.
I wish I'd known you before Coventry. Was it Coventry? I can't remember where I fell off a keyboard.
Did you tuck your neck in when you fell off the keyboard? No.
No, there was all appendages out and about, heads, everything. Yeah. Not healthy. I hope you're feeling better.
Oh, I feel great, honestly.
This meal is going to require neck movement, isn't it? I mean, most do. I mean,
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose so for the swallowing part.
Turns out, like, I mean, birds don't have. Oh, what's it called? Peristalsis, like the movement of like swallowing is peristalsis. It's right. Like a contraction of the thing all the way down from the mouth to the old bumhole. Yeah. But like birds don't have that. They just use gravity, don't they? They just put things in and then just keep bouncing like that. That's why you see a bird do that.
What? Yeah.
Birds don't have peristalsis, so food just has to fall down their neck. Like fish don't have it. And they just have to like keep moving, like as far as I know. But humans, like and most mammals, you've got to use your neck to eat, I think.
I think so, yeah.
So basically, let's not put anything too chewy or difficult to swallow.
No, I'll just sit very still.
Fun challenge, though, for the listeners. Try, next time you have a meal, try not using your neck.
cut out the middle, man.
Yeah.
Head to stomach.
Yeah.
Digestion.
See if you can manage it. Birds use gravity to eat.
Yeah.
They really pick and choose when they use gravity, don't they?
They are masters of the form.
That's fucking rich.
It's rich of birds, isn't it?
It's rich. now you come crawling back. Yeah. Always ask this when people say burrata. Do you think you could ever go back to mozzarella?
My dad, bless him, he knows it's my favourite meal, so he makes it with mozzarella. Mm-hmm. And because it's infused with fatherly love. Yeah. I could have a loving mozzarella. Mm-hmm. A loving mozzarella is on par with a dispassionate burrata. Like, that's about the same.
Yeah.
But a loving burrata would top everything.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who, yeah.
It's just not as fun, though, is it, mozzarella now? Because the burrata, I hate to bring up the word breach again.
Yeah.
When you cut into that and it just explodes and oozes and,
Yeah, it's not often I hear myself saying I would like my cheese to have a surprise.
Yeah,
because that's the last thing you really want. Cheese can do that to you. But yeah, that's in that case, it's like a little gift.
Yeah,
I'd put the extra A, B-U-R-A-A-T-A.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew that was in your mind.
Yeah, as soon as you started saying it. I made a lot of caprese salads during the lockdowns.
Really, it was a rough time for you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of people struggled during lockdown, but I just want people to know that James made a lot of caprese salads.
I made a lot of caprese. I ate a lot of caprese. but mainly because I refused to open the door to any delivery men, so I could only eat what they could slide under the door. So I had to just slice by slice with the tomatoes and everything just under. And I'd assemble it myself on the other side.
Would you say Italian is probably the cuisine where you could get most of the food under the door?
Good question.
Oh, you do. Your brain goes straight to pizza, of course. Yeah.
Pasta. It's messy, but you can get that under the door.
Yeah.
I suppose like a
deconstructed lasagna, you could.
Yeah.
Sheet by sheet.
I mean, it's really a lot of Thai is just broth, and broth moves quite fluidly between
That's true.
You're poured under it'd be difficult to receive at the other end.
Yeah,
getting under the door, you're questioning.
Yeah, you could definitely get a lot of broth under, and
I would want
noodles and stuff and bok choy, all of that stuff.
Pour it through the keyhole with the broth, and I'll be waiting with a bowl. So then you're using gravity.
Yeah.
Then gravity's your friend. Then you're like a little bird, a little clever bird.
And really, with noodles, you could feed a noodle through the keyhole, and if you put your lips up against it, you just suck.
Yeah, just suck it.
And all of the noodles are going through.
Suck all of it through the keyhole.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's how I met my wife. The door. Yes, you're probably right. Italian is a two-dimensional cuisine.
Yeah, yeah. God, it's the flattest cuisine that there is.
Yeah.
Parma ham.
That's going under the door, isn't it? You're not thinking twice there.
No way.
Or anything that unrolls, like sushi or one of them Swiss rolls. I don't mind reassembling it at the other end.
It's like a carpet. It's a little bit of fun.
It's like when you get when you buy a mattress and it's rolled up.
Yeah.
It's just sort of the opposite of that. Give it to me flat and I'll arrange my sushi at the other end.
Yeah, a lot of people say that about sushi. It's like the opposite of a mattress.
With that in mind, I do very often think, I wish there was such a thing as like a bread pillow. And that's not me being a silly surrealist comedian about it. I often think I'd love to sleep on a pillow of warm bread because it's just the nicest when you've got a naan bread and being it and eating it at the same time.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, sometimes a lot of the way people can describe really good bread is saying, oh, it's really pillowy on the inside.
Yeah, pillowy and soft.
They know what they're on about.
Pillowy bread.
I wish that they could lay their head on it. That would be good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't complain there. So would it be naan bread for you if you were to have it as a pillow?
Yeah, because often you don't usually want lumps. I like the topography of naan. I think I've just realised I quite like how it's got different shapes and layers and it's all quite organic.
Yeah.
But that's nice because you find your little niche in it and go to sleep.
Yeah, you find your little divot.
Yeah.
Little divot in the naan.
So yes, a burrata, leafy. I love me some basil.
Have you ever had a basil plant at home? Have you ever took the leap?
No, only in my whole life ever owned a single species of plant. Many of them, but one species, because I'm a little nerd and I always had a Venus flytrap growing up as a kid.
Nice.
And I kept that going for about 15 years. I haven't got one anymore. Why? It's not the same plant, so it's like loads of them.
Yeah.
Venus flytraps.
And would you feed it flies?
Yeah. Feed it a bit of everything. And I saw a documentary online that said they can count, because if a fly goes in and it feels a movement, it doesn't just close straight away, because what if the second movement it feels is that fly flying away? Because then it'll close for no reason, because it hasn't got a brain or eyes. So it will only close on either odd or prime numbered, it's probably odd feelings. Because a third thing means it's come out and gone again, something like that. So
they can
kind of accidentally count, which is very cool.
I haven't thought about Venus flytraps.
You don't see them anymore.
For a very long time. And now you've brought them up. Like, they are nuts.
Yeah. It's a really weird thing to get at B&Q in the plant section. As a little nerd, I was a goth as well, and it's like the most sort of gothy plant.
Yeah, for sure.
Something that's got teeth. Yeah. It was such a huge thing. Every Halloween, and me and my partners would buy Halloween gifts instead of Valentine's Day gifts, and we always gave each other like Venus flytraps.
Brilliant.
Or something with a macabre edge to it. And that, instead of flowers, like little Adam's family. little nerds.
Ed wishes he was in that friendship group.
Yeah, I'd love that.
You wish, man.
Were you sort of goth adjacent?
I was.
Adjacent, yeah. I hung out with the goths.
Yeah.
But they have a go at me for wearing too much colour.
Yeah, you can't be. I was too happy to be a goth, to be fair, and that does give you away straight away. But
I had that, but you know, I had the full. I had a leather trench coat.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Like Neo from Matrix that year, everyone had those.
Yeah.
What did your hair look like, Ed?
I had dyed black hair for
a
while.
Did you need to do this dye?
Yeah, but still with the sort of fairly conservative looking haircut.
Great.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You
dyed your hair black.
Yeah, dyed my hair black, black nail varnish.
Tiny bit of eyeliner maybe?
Little bit of eyeliner now and again.
Yeah.
Big new rock flame boots. Yeah. Oh. Brilliant.
I didn't know any of this.
No.
Didn't you?
Lovely.
No. This is great.
Oh, I loved it.
I realised you were sitting next to Edgar Allan Poe this whole time.
That's what Ed's short for. I didn't know that.
I didn't have a Venus flytrap, though.
Yeah,
no.
So I wasn't the full goth.
That's proper hardcore.
They don't really go in for botany, most goths. Everything's supposed to be dead. The fact that anything was alive in the house, it's got to have teeth or eyes. What about you, man, James? Are you a goth boy?
No, my friends were.
Yeah.
I was still a Christian at the time, so that wasn't cool.
Yeah.
So I was there. And also, so I'd gone from like, so 13 is when I started getting into that kind of music, hanging out with those sorts of kids. Before then, I was like trying to be cool and not succeeding, buying all the kind of like, everyone was into like Adidas bottoms and like sportswear.
Yeah.
So then I just had this, you know, realization that all of this is bullshit. I'm going to hang out with these kids who don't care about any of that stuff. But then quickly discovered they do care about
so
that
much.
Stuff.
Yeah.
It's just the other, it's just another group of stuff.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I was exhausted when I started hanging out with them. And I remember going around one of their houses and they're like, why are you wearing an Umbro shirt? You're meant to be one of us. And I was like, oh, fucking hell. This is even worse than before.
Yeah.
So I was like still wearing I kind of deliberately didn't even think about what I wore until I was in my mid to late 20s because I was too exhausted about it when I was 13.
There's so much paraphernalia to being a goth. And there's not brands as much either. It is just a sort of a vibe.
It's Camden Market, basically.
It is Camden Market. Everything I owned was from Camden Market. Massive chains. I bought a bullet belt in Australia And it was like the whole thing. Like, they look like bullets, but it's obviously a belt. And they said, you can't take that on the plane, which is sort of, I get, because they're not sure if they're really bullets. Yeah. But then they said, but you can post it to yourself. Like, so, wait, hang on. So the problem is that you're worried that I'm going to use them on the plane, but not when I get to the country, my country of origin. They're either bullets or they're belt. Make a decision.
Yeah.
Use it there.
I'm so jealous. I never had a bullet belt.
Bullet belts are... Yeah, it doesn't even work because that's sort of more cowboy and western.
Yeah.
Yeehaw, goth. It's a weird combination.
Yeah, goths shouldn't be using guns and stuff, should they?
No, definitely not.
Good if there's a goth in the Magnificent Seven, an eighth one. Just a little goth there complaining it's too sunny in the Wild West.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
That's got you a dream main course.
This is a perfect segue because actually,
it's bullets, flies, a plate of flies.
Yeah, during that time, being a goth and that, I was a proper nerd that suddenly became the lead singer of the band, the big band from our school, and every school's got like one. Yeah. And during those times, we'd finish the gig, and my mum said we'd keep all the ticket money from because I lived in a pub. Sorry, I rewind. Lived in this pub. And we'd invite everyone to the gigs. We could keep all that money so long as she got the bar takings. And I'd just sit there with a pint of money, like pound coins and stuff. All of us band members got loads of money. And we'd go to the kebab van that was outside. And the kebab van was paying like no rent and they knew it. So they didn't even charge us any money. So it's a free meal. And there's such a sense of victory when you're 14 of being a nerd that suddenly in a... I was a grindcore band. It was
amazing.
Proper. They're all there. They loved it, all these kids. So and then I know on Monday in school, everyone's going to love it. I'm sat there with a chicken kebab and I'm a vegetarian and yet I'm putting this in because that's how nostalgic and good it was. Let's say, because it's a dream restaurant, magically you're able to affect the biochemical molecular structure and it's not got any meat in it.
I've done it.
Yeah, thanks. That's wicked. So it's a chicken kebab from this specific place because he was worried about his rent getting put up, so he gave us free food. I know that this podcast includes a side, or has historically, but I used to get them as one meal with chips and burger sauce. Am I allowed to include that?
Absolutely. Right,
so it's a chicken kebab and a thing, and some chips with burger sauce on, which you can't get anymore, the burger sauce that they've got. I don't know why that's... Oh. You know burger sauce?
Yeah. I mean, what was it?
Exactly. Burger sauce is supposed to just be ketchup and mayonnaise, sort of, really, isn't it? The primary, I learned about colours in school, and it's orange, so it's got to have yellow and red in it. So I assume it's either mustard or...
A bit of mustard in there as well, yeah.
But for whatever reason, cheap burger van kebab sauce is amazing. They were called All Sit Best Kebab, which is a bold claim, and we did live in All Sit, so that at least bit made sense. But a cheeseburger there as well, and I know that's a stretch, but it was one meal that I had, and I would sit there in my underwear with all my goth makeup still on, and I just like sort of legs akimbo with this food, like a little king, just picking with my hands. No one's looking. That's why nobody can be in this restaurant.
Yeah.
Just greasy handfuls of everything, just with a pint of money on the side. And it was the best feeling in the world because that shouldn't happen to a little anorak, which I definitely was.
So this meal is, this main course is a chicken kebab, chips and burger sauce, and a cheeseburger.
And a cheeseburger. Great. And eating with no plan as to how and in what order any of that's going to be consumed. But it's piecemeal. You're eating a bite of a bit, a bite of this, and always there's a television on there. I think I've based the restaurant mainly around this meal, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like this is the central. And just to be clear, I'm changing the molecular structure of the chicken, but not the burger.
I can't have everything. It was so, so sweet. Like, you could see the terror in his eyes every time we come past. It's like any way that he could get his rent to stay down. Yeah. So he'd offer, I'd have just eaten, and he'd offer food. I'd be like, yeah, definitely. And also, I'd like sort of a little mafia feel to it that I could take all my friends there, and he had to give them all free food. And that wasn't my intention.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was always going to happen.
Were you holding the pint of money as well, just to show that you could pay if you wanted?
Taking a little performative sip out of a pint of pound coins.
Tastes good.
And then they found out that the plot of land that we lived on, there was a little gap where technically he wasn't even on our land. So you can't really open up a business right next to a working food business, because they were taking a lot of our business away, but we didn't mind. But then it turned out, even though it was cheap rent, it was rent that they didn't even technically owe us.
Wow.
So there was a checkered history to his van. Yeah. Oh, and it burned down. Oh, shit. It burned down. And that's got nothing to do with us. Like, I woke up one night, it faced out of my window because I lived in the pub. And I looked out the window and I saw what I thought was aliens landing, because you're in a dreamy state, and it was amazing. And imagine seeing that in real life. I was like, there's aliens. This is historic. It's amazing. Then I'm like opening my eyes a bit more. I was like, it's not aliens. It's a shootout between the police and someone.
Oh my God.
That didn't happen. Like, but I'm thinking it's that. And I'm going, oh, it's not. Right, so there's the police, they're shooting. Oh, this is bloody hell. Then I'm opening it more and I'm like, oh, it's loads of firemen with a hose putting out the fire of a flaming kebab van. And I thought, this is all mad. Yeah. It must be a dream. So I just went back to bed. In the morning, woke up my mum. I was like, Mum, I think the kebab van is just a flaming pile of ash. And it was. It was gone. It's just gone.
What a drop off in what you thought it was to what it actually was.
But there was no paradigm shift to me thinking, oh, I'm actually awake.
Yeah.
It was all a dream. Yeah. It just got more and more boring and pedestrian as a dream. So I just thought it's a dream.
Aliens, shoot out, flaming kebab van.
Flaming kebab van. Yeah. Oh, no.
I just think it's funny when people describe anything other than a building burning down. Like a van burning down.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound right, does it?
The van burned down.
But it is the only way to say it.
Yeah.
The van burned down.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
No, you're right.
In your head. Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything that would sound like...
Even a birthday candle. Oh, it burned down. Yeah.
Oh, my cake's burned down.
Oh, whole cake's burned down. It's really embarrassing. I love the sound of this meal, though. I like that you... Is it pure nostalgia, or was it like genuinely like good versions of that
stuff? They lived up to their name of All Sit Best Kebab, because everyone sort of says that. And maybe it was hometown pride. They were basically in my house. They were in my garden. So it was like home pride that it was good. But yeah, it was good stuff. The salad was always fresh.
Great.
And I'm sorry, but it ain't always fresh in a kebab shop. And I like red onion, all that. I've tried to recreate it now in a vegan way with all the individual ingredients. And a kebab van kebab is more than the sum of its parts. If you try and make it yourself, you just taste all the things you've bought from a shop. It's not a cohesive thing. It's just a pastiche of a meal filled with sadness.
Yeah.
What was going in this kebab then? So you had the salad.
Chicken.
And,
onion, red cabbage, very finely diced lettuce. And it's the bit of the lettuce that ain't really green. It's when they get down to the white bit. That's what you get in a salad.
Yeah.
Not cabbage, lettuce. Chili peppers, but not done for me. Chili sauce if I'm really drunk. And I haven't drunk for 10 years as well. So I remember that feeling of like, oh, this is going to hurt tomorrow. But right now it feels so perfect on my little drunken tongue. So sometimes some chili sauce. All the chips and vinegar, no salt. Vinegar and loads of burger sauce. And then the cheeseburger, just your cheeseburger that you'd expect from a kebab van.
I'm going to, if I may,
please,
drill into the all vinegar, no salt part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Was that what you were going to ask?
No, I was still thinking, thinking about, were you the singer in the grindcore band?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I can't believe we've glossed over. So the first person who ever had on the podcast who was in a grindcore band.
Yeah. Your throat must have been red raw after those gigs, and then you're pouring a big hot kebab down it.
And loads of chili sauce.
Yeah, I had a husky voice throughout my team, for sure. Definitely. I wasn't doing it right. You're supposed to growl, and there's amazing techniques to do it. I'm doing it in, and I won't do it near a microphone.
Yeah.
But you're just going, raw, 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 like inwards. And
right.
So you just breathe. It's horrible. It's really, really bad. Sorry about that. Producer Ben sitting there, like, didn't put that lot.
See line on the pod?
And it's better than that as well. I've sort of lost it.
Yeah.
I've lost the heart, really.
Come on, no one's expecting you to pull it out of the bag.
For the next show. Bring it back for the next show.
Oh, bloody, it's so cool thing to be part of. When you're a kid and there's only one place that you can drink underage, it don't matter what music is playing there.
Mm-hmm.
We were a grindcore band. We might as well have done anything. All the kids decided that they loved it because it's where they can come and get drunk for...
And let's be clear, that was your pub.
It's not there anymore. It's now an Indian restaurant. Underage.
It's the pub that my parents own.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was like a little Richie Rich. it's an Indian restaurant now with a wall to ceiling aquarium in it, where my bedroom used to be.
Wow,
it's fish live there now.
I love it.
I miss being in that band. I wish I was there.
Grindcore, in Kettering when I was growing up, sludgecore was the thing.
What is that? I've never heard of that.
It's very slow. Kind of, I guess, a branch of doom metal in a way. Yeah. But blues metal as well. Like blues metal, doom metal kind of mixed, like very, like the slower the better.
Raging Speedhorn,
but like Scourge were the main local band. Like, they were like the proper sludge band who we all loved, and they supported Raging Speedhorn at the Roadmender, which is no longer there, in Northampton. We all went to see them, really excited that like they were doing this proper venue. And I was right at the front. And Cliff was the lead singer of Scourge. He got right up to the front of the audience and he got the mic and he was looking around for someone to do a guttural growl and he just shoved the mic right in my face.
Oh, man.
I could feel the grill of the mic against my teeth and I didn't know what to do. Little Christian boy not knowing what to do. And I just went, and Toby, who was the bass player who I knew, had his foot right up on the monitor. And he said it. He said he got that sound right up to him and just started laughing. And it was like, that's too funny. It's like I sounded like the Cookie Monster or something.
Christian growl. That's lovely. Christian growl metal.
Please forgive me.
I used to walk around in steel toe cap boots with the trench coat and everything. No shirt, just the trench coat. Oh, and a cog from a machine that my dad worked in a steel factory and a cog broke and I hung that on a chain around my neck.
Oh, I love
bad
it.
View. I'd walk around on the tips of the steel toe cap boots like a sort of a spider, like I had invented this walk that was going to catch on with the goths. And I got really good at it. So I'm just, it's an audio medium. Well, I'd describe it. I look like an idiot. Right? And I'd sort of do that and I'd scream at people. I remember I broke up with my first girlfriend when I was like 14 and then she brought her new boyfriend to the gig. And I'd written on my chest in red lipstick in just capital letters. It just said, broken heart.
Oh my God.
And I just went out. I normally wouldn't wear, I wore something else. I wore like a sort of a boutonniere type thing as well. So I could just pull it open as if people would see that and go, oh, it's got a broken heart. Oh, it's probably that. But, like, it doesn't mean anything. It's the most on-the-nose thing ever. I'm suing all sad suit of music, but I just want you to know that it's because I've got a broken heart.
A grindcore emo band, basically. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Our singer of our band, when I was in a new metal band, not as cool, he wrote on his chest, also probably in lipstick or permanent marker, I can't remember, Susie was here with an arrow pointing down to his dick. she was at all the gigs.
How did Susie feel about that?
I think she was in on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she wrote it. Yeah, I think she wrote it for him.
Yeah.
I put it on there. We didn't know it was going to be there. It's part of a longer story, which I've told on other things.
Yeah.
He was an absolute maniac.
Yeah.
And that was the final surprise that he had for us one night, was that he wrote that on himself.
Our most popular band in our school was called Callus, K-A-L-U-S. And they played in the tuck shop.
I love that song.
Yeah. They played a cover of Soulfly, Eye for an Eye, and the place went off.
It was brilliant. I remember that song.
Yeah.
To bring it back around to food, with my pints of money, what I would do to tuck shop adjacent is I'd go in. This is so stupid. I'd go to like the ice cream van, which was like a roaming tuck shop essentially, and I'd just buy way too much, like armfuls. And I just like walk out into the crowd of people that are waiting because there's no queues when you're a kid, and I just throw them up in the air.
Ice
just
creams.
Bags of no sweets. Bags, sorry. I really should have gone
like that. 99 flakes.
Like, bags of those shrimps and gummy bears, and throw them up in the air. Like again, like I don't know, like a Victorian draconian sort of area. And it didn't. It made people flock, but that doesn't equate to friendship. No. But I thought it did. I thought all these people around because they bloody love me.
So popular.
Throwing pounds and pounds worth of sweets around.
Wow. I mean, I think we had like opposite experiences of school and teenage. You seem like the most confident. Like, I absolutely love it. Just like going around wearing a big cog around your neck, throwing sweets around. You got a Venus flytrap.
I'd done a spell on that cog and put it in the ground because I used to think I was a witch.
Yes, of course.
I'm not even, don't even mind that because it's like, Yeah, I'll own up to it. I thought I had magical powers at one point.
What spell did you put on the cog?
to make all the, I think it was just, there was people that was really mean to me, and it was just to not make them die or go away.
Yeah.
Just for them to leave me alone.
To turn them into
Because I'd
machines.
Had this thing on my neck for so many gigs, I thought it must be infused with all of my power and confidence. Yeah. So I'd done a spell on it and buried it in the beer garden of the pub we lived in. So it was just a little patch of dirt where it was. I think I dug it up once to get it back and then put it back in again.
Well, that could still be there at the Indian restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, yeah,
shouldn't be. It's a genuinely industrial piece of metal that probably had some radioactive it broke out of a machine. So my dad gave it to me and I fixed it up.
Man, I don't know why suddenly I find spells so funny, but I do.
They are funny.
Spells are funny.
Spells are funny. It's funny you cast a spell, isn't it?
It's a little spell. My friend's house, and his grandfather, bless him, was on his last legs, like deathbed last legs. It's a really awkward thing when you don't know that person. And I said to him, without irony, this is so bad. I was like 14. And I said to him, look, I was like, mate, I know your granddad's dying, but if we can just get to the shop now and you can get me some red thread and a candle. There's a chance I could like make him like last a bit longer.
With a spell that you know.
With a spell.
With the red thread and candle spell.
But there's no irony to that. I'm not going it's a gate. I'm like, I'm going to do this for you, man. I love you. And I might be able to make your granddad last an extra few hours if you get me the right colour thread. Because we were going to see Slipknot Slayer that night, and it was going to be a really awkward conversation that we might not be able to go to see it. And I knew that about him. And then when he did die and was in the hospital, he literally turned to his dad and was like, does this mean we can not go see Slipknot Slayer? And he was like, no, we will, because it's what your granddad would have wanted.
Great.
Yeah.
It's amazing what people want after they die, isn't it?
They want all sorts of selfish things. they want to do whatever they want. Nah. They didn't want that in life.
Never mentioned that in life at all. Never even a passing interest in either of those bands. They want you to go see him tonight.
Great Benito went to see Slipknot.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It was very funny. So I love Slipknot.
Yeah.
And we had Corey Taylor on the podcast.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then we got invited to go and see them do a live session at BBC Maida Vale.
Right.
Smallest gig they played in 20 years. 100 people in the room.
That's amazing.
And Benito came. He doesn't have a fucking clue about anything about them. Everyone else losing their mind. Benito and his friend Guy stood at the back of Anoraks going, what's all this then? It was great.
Always love the detail that your friend's called Guy. I don't know why I find it funny that Guy went to see some. Your dream side dish.
All right, then, some Bombay potatoes, because that's your side dish in Indian, and Indian is perhaps the best cuisine for sides.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's fair to say.
I think that's a good shout.
It's also almost all sides, really, a lot of it, depending on... Even when you order a main, it comes at the same size as a side, doesn't it, in an Indian restaurant?
Yeah.
So Bombay potato, and I don't mind a cheap one I kind of like that it would come in an aluminium rectangle with a bit of paper on top with the little B on it.
Yeah.
That's just
really good. I love that.
Okay, yeah.
The little lid, the cardboard lid.
Yeah.
It's so exciting, like rolling back the foil and taking the little lid off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And for the nostalgia of it, the table, let's say it's this table as well, your lovely round table, but I'd have it carpeted with like a white cream carpet.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing like Bombay potato to stain a carpet.
Yeah.
And I really like that. That really takes me back. Chicken tikka, the red of chicken tikka and the yellow of Bombay on a carpet is not going away.
Yeah. So would you be deliberately sloshing it about?
Like I scoop onto the thing, rub it around a little bit like finger painting while I'm eating. Okay. It's like the freedom of that, because how many hours have we spent worried about getting food everywhere?
Yeah.
But it's a messy thing. Mastication is a messy process, and yet we've civilized it into this weird thing. Yeah, I want to make mess.
Mm.
That's the point of this restaurant, really.
Yeah, messy restaurant.
Messy restaurant.
Make mess.
Banana naan.
Yeah,
it's banana messy.
It's a banana naan make mess restaurant.
So yes, half of it's going on the carpeted table, and half's going in my gob, my uncarpeted mouth.
Are you still in your underwear for this bit?
No, I've gotten dressed in a lovely, pristine white dressing gown
that will also
be covered by the end.
Yeah.
I want to see the fallout. What's the collateral damage that my meal has caused?
Yeah.
That was a good film, Collateral. I've just remembered how good that film was.
Do you know what? Good film. Like, every time I see it on some listings, I'm bloody tempted.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that was gripping.
It was gripping.
He was menacing in that.
It was.
The bit where he drops the Bombay potatoes everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Jamie Foxx is like, we can't do that, man. We can't be dropping the Bombay potatoes all over the place. People live here.
The turmeric's never going to come out.
Turmeric is what it is. I've just realised that's turmeric. What the yellow is.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, like, fuck that.
Yeah, so...
fuck that, man. I was having one of those mornings recently where I was feeling like, oh, you're so unhealthy, man. You need to really turn your life around and you start eating more healthy. And I went in a shop. I got a turmeric shot. I was like, this is the first day of the rest of my life. And downed it. Then I was trying to put the top back onto the turmeric shot while I was walking, fumbled it, dropped the empty bottle. It bounced once on the pavement and all of the turmeric that was inside sprayed up on my trousers. I was like, well, that's what I get. That's what I get for trying to do a good thing.
Straight to the ice cream shop.
That's what I fucking get. And then I checked the ice cream shop, two armfuls of it, and I threw them into the crowds. And I was like, this is how we're living our life now. Fuck turmeric, man.
Yeah, fuck. I don't know why I make a habit of doing this. I've got like Lego teeth, not literally, but like I've missing two teeth and I bought these beads off the internet called thermo beads and you make your own teeth. Save like loads of money. I'll show you.
What?
It's like a little Lego tooth.
Right.
Because I've got a gap of a tooth. And it comes out bright white, so you have to put it in a cup of tea for like an hour to stain it to the colour of your teeth. But a turmeric, a shot of that mookie turmeric that you're talking about, or any turmeric, will make it go bright yellow. And I sometimes forget a meal's got turmeric in, so mid-meal, I'll have that. And I'll just have a bright yellow sort of prospector's gold tooth, like, out of nowhere.
So then what do you have to do? Make a new tooth?
Make a new tooth, and it's a real hassle. Because what it is, right, you get it like a globule of Play-Doh. You stick it in, and it's see-through. Yeah. And you have to keep putting it in and out and in and out as it cools. Because if you left it in and cooled, it'd expand and you'd never get it out and then you're in trouble. Likewise, if you left it out, you'd never get it back in. So you have to keep in and in and out as it's drying.
Yeah.
And you get, I mean, you didn't ask to see this. This is the second time I've showed you a bit of my inside.
I like seeing it. Yeah. I like it.
Imagine the massive finger just coming into my own mouth and grabbing a giant tooth out the side of it.
There's absolutely no way you're not recognising the inside of your own mouth.
Yeah. Look, I've got Lego teeth.
You literally just grab onto one of the teeth and go, right, there it is.
Yeah, it's a... chaos in there. The inside of my mouth, this is going to be as niche a reference as you've ever had on this program, probably looks like the opening to that film Zardos. Do you see that like Zardos?
Absolutely never heard of it.
No idea.
You know, never heard
of Zardos?
No. We don't need to go into it.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
It's a Sean Connery film. Uh-huh. Where, right, okay, so you've seen in parodies of it, that giant floating rock head that you get in stuff, like in Family Guy or like whatever, giant head and loads of guns fall out of it. It's a film called Zardos from the 70s. And it's absolutely bizarre. It's Sean Connery in a red leotard. No, like leotard, what's the word?
I think I've seen a picture of
parodies
him.
Of that.
Yeah, where he's got like long hair and and he's got like, it's like a sort
a
of...
bandolier's gun.
I've seen pictures of him in
and
that.
And he gets in that head, which you're not supposed to. It basically spews up guns for them to kill each other and you don't know why. Mm. And spoiler, there ain't a reason at all. It's a 70s film. This is before Jaws, before there was actually a three-act structure to anything. So it's just someone's thoughts in a film for 2 hours. It gets in that head and he goes to a posh place where people are controlling the film that you're in. It's a meta upon meta.
Perfect.
But yeah, inside that head, there's loads of people, naked people shrink wrapped against the walls, and it feels 70s, but I think maybe it's just not 70s. Maybe it's just that film's really weird,
and that's what the inside of your mouth
must look like. That because there's mysteries going on in our mouths, isn't there, really?
It's like the ocean. There could be naked people cellophane to the roof of my mouth
on a good day. There's naked people in my mouth. Or parts off, appendages off, not entire people.
Main question about, was it Zapdos? What's it called?
Zardos. You've just quoted a Pokemon, which has made me really happy. Zapdos, the electronic bird Pokemon.
Let's not get away.
I didn't think it was going to get nicher than Zardos, but you're right.
You won't let me talk about Pokemon on the podcast.
Let's talk after.
But in Zardos, when Connery's getting on board the massive flying rockhead, do they let him take the bullet belt on, or does he have to send it to his house?
It's oddly, he's the only one on it. It's an automated thing, so he got away with it.
It's okay. Yeah,
good for him.
He's allowed to do what he wants. Dream drink.
Right, I'm 11 years sober, but I'm going to put some alcohol onto the list because my drink of choice was a Jägerbomb, and I miss it dearly.
Mm.
On a daily basis, I miss that lovely, what's it called, a digestive?
Yeah.
I think we could call a Jägerbomb a digestive.
But what I had...
would you care for a digestive?
We hope you enjoyed your meal.
Away.
And there was a cheap version of Jägerbomb called Jungfrau that you could get if you were doing it at home, which I sadly did, because there's a reason I don't drink anymore. I drank way too much. But I had this dream of like, I didn't go to uni, but had I remember researching that at uni, they have like these little beer tasting clubs and things that you can go to in the first week to like, to be friends with people. And I thought, I'm going to start one of them, but it'll be specifically for Jaeger bombs that are paired with various different energy drinks. Brilliant. And we'll try all the different drinks. Wow. And I'd make a, like a really glossy like pamphlet with all the different
all the tasting notes.
And how like Monster's different from Red Bull and stuff. And I found the perfect pairing because, and I'm sorry to do this to you, Ben, but this is a naughty word to have on a podcast.
Yes.
There's an energy drink and an energy drink called Pussy Energy Drink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they know it's rude because they put a little star over the U. It's yeah, not
they
even
know,
like,
they know.
I thought it was going to be way worse.
Yeah. Imagine.
I thought, oh, great.
Suddenly just changed the tone completely.
Drunk something called cunt juice. That's what I was expecting.
Yeah.
There's an energy drink called Pussy, and if you pair it with Jägermeister, yep, Jaeger bomb, it tastes exactly like a Marks and Spencer's Percy Pig without a deviation. It's a fizzy Percy Pig.
Jordan, this is so great, but you can't tell James stuff like that.
Yodeling.
This is going to be the end of his life.
Oh, man. Are you telling me Percy's in liquid form now? I'm absolutely having that.
Texting his girlfriend saying, get a crate of pussies.
Yeah, listen. When we get back, I want to see all the pussy you can get.
So it's a Percy bomb, is what, if you want to call it. You could call it a Pussy Pig, or you can call it a Percy bomb. I'd go with Percy
bomb. Yeah,
yeah. And that's what I want to submit. No,
we're going with Pussy Pig.
Yeah, yeah.
Write down Pussy Pig.
Because that is what it's called.
Pussy Pig cocktail, I suppose you call it. What is a Jaeger bomb? I mean, it's not.
I wouldn't say cocktail.
Yeah, you're right.
But it's not. It's not a shot either, is it?
Yeah. Not a shot, and it's not a mixed. It's not like a mixer. It's not vodka and Coke, because it is supposed to be
downed.
Which most drinks aren't.
Most
mixed drinks aren't designed to do that.
Yeah, most nice.
It's sort of got the energy of a shot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it tastes like a Percy Pig, I'd want to be sipping this.
Perhaps it is a long drink.
Yeah.
With little pink ice cubes and stuff, like really partnering it up with maybe it's a Marks and Spencer's collab situation.
Yeah, yeah. You'd have to do a collab. They'd come after you with everything they've got if they knew that you were marketing your own Percy Pig drink.
Yeah, but they're not going to sell a Pussy Pig at the services, are they?
No. It'd be good. I'd at least like to sit in on that and that business meeting. Look, we call it Pussy Pig or nothing. But it sounds great. Obviously, it's some of my street. Nice. It's unreal.
Properly used to get me, and it's not something you find anywhere, so you have to make it at home as well. So it's very much a drink to be enjoyed in solids at a friend's barbecue. You can always show up with the pussy and get their party started.
Obviously, I think all Percy Pigs are veggie now, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
But the original veggie Percy Pigs
with the little green ears.
Yeah. Would you say so? I think they're my favourite Percy Pigs. Mm. Where do you stand?
Yeah. There's a different texture to it.
Yeah.
To a chewy gummy, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
You get to recognise them as vegetarians and vegans, like the strawberries. They're a bit harder. Basically, a vegan gummy is a little bit harder
because
of the old gelatine and that. You're right. And also, perhaps one of them on a little cocktail umbrella on the top of it makes
lovely.
A lovely little sweetie
nice.
Garnish.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you stand on Percy and Friends?
Yeah, yeah. The pals. Sorry.
Pals. Sorry. Percy and pals. Sorry, doesn't.
I like the story of it.
Yeah.
I like my...
What's the story in your head? So I don't think that's narrative. Written on the back, is it?
Well, he's a globetrotting, isn't he? That's what it's this globetrotting Percy. That's what it says on the front of one of them.
Right.
And I think that's because the species. Ben's nodding with such solidarity. Yeah. So sweet. That was so adorable. I think the animals are more exotic. So there's like a zebra, like a... Do you know what the flavour of the Percy Pig is? I do, and I shall tell you. But do you want to have a guess of what the actual flavour is?
I've got no idea.
If I can remember,
sweets, right?
I think it's raspberry.
You're very close.
Strawberry.
It's strawberry and kiwi mix.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't have got that. I would not have got that.
And that's what Pussy Energy Drink is. It's literally strawberry and kiwi, which is why it tastes exactly like it. I have no doubt that a Percy Pig contains raspberry or did at some point or some variation
has
raspberry.
I think the sheep has raspberry in it.
Yep. And there's a the Coca-Cola flavoured cow is my favourite of the pals.
That's the best one. It's the best of the pals!
It's the best. There is, that is without question. In fact, I could even retro-engineer my cocktail to just be a Jaeger bomb and Coke with one of those... sweet cola flavoured cows on the top. That'd be just as happy with that.
Yeah, I'd love a bag of just the cows. If Mark or Spencer are listening, I would love it if we had a bag of just the cows.
Well, they do the drink now, right? There's a Percy Pig soda that they sell in Marks and Spencer's.
Fucks everything up, sorry to swear.
No, it won't be boozy like yours.
It won't be boozy.
No, but I mean, it's the same general idea.
No.
A virgin Pussy Pig is what you're saying.
Oh, God.
That's not...
Watch sales plummet.
Yeah.
What do they call it that?
Oh, I've bought a bottle of this virgin Pussy Pig.
No, thank you.
Absolutely not.
I've got nowhere near that.
That's right up my street.
Gonna do a wee.
Yeah, the cow is the best of the pals. I'm kind of the cow is the best of the pals. Yeah. It is nice that he's globetrotting and making friends while he's doing it.
The pun. Marks and Spencer's with Percy Pigs are working backwards from puns, I swear, all the time. They don't go, let's make one that's opposite, it's a reversey pig. They go, reversey pig, what's that?
Yeah.
And me and my sister came up with this massive list of like Percy Pigs, like coercy pigs. And it's like you buy a meal deal and then they are obligated professionally to try and upsell you a bag of Percy Pigs, and that's brilliant. The coercy pigs.
Oh,
and we made this list that went on forever. Like, oh, I don't know, what's another thing that rhymes? Cursey pigs. Circe pigs, because Circe was the Greek goddess that turned people into pigs.
So, really?
Yeah, Circe made people
pigs.
Oh,
that's amazing.
So like Circe pigs, I don't know what the gummy. Well, I guess we're working backwards from like a pun.
Well, Circe pigs, I guess we should turn them into pigs. There'd be some human shaped ones in there, and then somewhere it's like halfway between a human and a pig, and then normal Percy pigs. Yeah, they're
screaming in torment. It's like, yeah.
Or like you put it in water and it expands into a pig, like those toys. Yes. Obviously, think of everything.
Mercy pigs.
Mercy pigs is really nice.
Being merciful.
Yeah. That's the free bag they give you if you feel upset by the coercy pigs. you try to sue, they give you a bag of mercy pigs. So anyway, yes, that's my cocktail, is a Percy bomb. I shall continue to call it a Percy bomb. Call it what you will.
Percy bomb's nice, more marketable
than a virgin Percy.
But it's a pussy pig. No, it's not a virgin. No, I'm not. It's not called a virgin.
It's
pussy.
An alcoholic pussy pig.
That's what it is. Yeah. Also, before we move on, it would make me laugh if one of Percy's pals was called Guy.
Yes. And there's only one per packet.
Yeah, yeah. It's one. And he looks exactly like Benito's friend.
Oh, lucky you. You got the guy.
We arrive at your dream dessert.
What I've very much enjoyed about this conversation is how fluidly we've moved from one into the other, because this is another perfect segue. My dessert, and I thought long and high about it, when I was little, we used to get given a pound for pocket money each week. And on a Friday, we'd go to the Happy Shopper. Remember Happy Shoppers?
Oh, Happy Shopper.
Yeah.
And they'd have the trays of pick and mix sweets that you can't grab. You have to say, I would like one of them, two of them. And it's behind a glass thing. And somebody had to buy one by one and get it out. And the woman that worked there loved it. And her husband hated it. So depending on who you got, it was a different shopping experience. And I would get them. I'd get a pound's worth, which was a lot of different things and variety. Yeah. And I'd make, this is so stupid as well, I'd make dioramas out of my things, which is fine because you got like a, I'd say like a little, a few mice and they live together, and then I'd make like a house out of the square things and it's like a diorama. Then I'd eat it.
Yeah.
And that was fine. And then my mum got uncomfortable with it because I'd start to chew off half of one, like a gummy baby and then half a jelly snake, and I'd stick them together, and I'm like, well, that's it's extended the sort of the mythos, the storyline of my diorama.
Yeah.
And then she said I had to stop when I was about 9 because I got a jelly baby and a mouse, and I was like, that looks like a man walking his dog, but there's no lead. So I just chewed up some gum, and then I stretched it out, and I made a lead out of the gum, and she saw that and told me I had to stop doing it.
Yeah, sure. Fair enough.
Then, and this is my dessert, the next day, the next Friday even, and we went to that shop and we had a babysitter, what I fancied a lot, right? And I'm too young for that babysitter, I'll admit it now. That's fine. I was 9 or maybe 10. And she was really cool and she took us there. My brother and sister got their pounds worth of sweets, like one of those, please, two of those. And I just looked at the guy and I was like, but yeah, get a pound of lemon sherbet, please. And that was my childhood's gone. That was me being an adult. I was like, I'll have a pound of lemon sherbet.
That was the most grown-up thing you could think of doing.
To show off to the babysitter.
To show off to the babysitter. And I sat with a spoon, shoveling lemon sherbet into my mouth. that's my night then. There's one flavour. That's so disappointing. Because there's no variety anymore.
No diorama.
Just sitting there like my lips had imploded in on themselves with lemon sherbet at this babysitter. Like, oh, yeah. And I just have fond memories of it. So I'd have I think a bowl is too much, but
a bowl of lemon sherbet. So you suggest the lemon sherbet.
A quid's worth of lemon.
Yeah.
A quid's worth of lemon sherbet in a little paper bag. That sort of, you know, when you get this. That's just hit me like a proper memory. When you get the bag and then you do the flip with the paper bag.
Yeah, the roll.
I want it to arrive like that.
Yeah.
Sort of like a Japanese dumpling, like a what they called. What's a Japanese dumpling called? Like a bao bun or something. I want that.
A gyoza.
A gyoza. It's like a little gyoza of edible sugar paper filled with lemon sherbet on a beautiful little
eat the whole thing.
I love it. You've just elevated it.
If it's edible sugar paper, are you still opening up the bag, eating the lemon sherbets, and then, or are you just? I would be tempted just to pick up the bag, all twizzled up, and just bite out of it, out of the side of it.
Yeah. A very appealing prospect, like biting into a bag of sand.
So this is like the sherbet powder, not like the little sweets, right?
No, yeah, it's more granule. It's sort of like lemon sugar. It's like as if sugar was yellow and lemon.
Oh, hold on a second, I'm confused.
Yeah, you're thinking of the sweets.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the sweets. Are they sherbet lemons and lemon sherbet?
I see what you mean. Yeah, no, this is just like sugar. It's yellow, sour sugar.
That's even more insane.
It's literally the powder that's inside sherbet lemons.
I thought it was mad that you just ordered the sweets, a pound of them. I didn't know you'd ordered just a pound of sherbet.
That's, yeah, and it's like because then you're just shoveling sugar into your cup. But it felt like the most grown-up thing because it's also like sour, which is like away from the sweet end of the spectrum, the kiddie end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I was going to shovel lemon into my mouth.
If you wanted to be proper grown up, you should have racked up lines of it on the on the coffee table in front
smash
of the baby.
Your face into it like
don't,
Scarface.
Don't mind if I if I indulge, do you?
A little library card, just kind of. But perhaps because the sugar paper, you're right, that is really appealing. Bite into it and just let it all pour out.
Yeah.
But perhaps you, much like one of those chocolate fondants, so ice cream and chocolate, and you pour hot caramel, and it melts. Maybe you take your pussy pig and you just pour it onto the lemon sherbet, and you've got this sandy, sugary mush, and you sort of eat that at your leisure. Or just watch it.
I'd find it hard to resist doing that. I think I'd have a bit of the sherbet.
Yeah.
But then sooner or later, I'm going to pour the pussy pig over it.
I like the way we agreed with Percy Bomb. Yep. We agreed on Percy Bomb about 5 minutes ago, and now everyone's just gone back to pussy pig.
Yeah. Of course.
You're right, yeah. It's hard to get away from. It is the catcher of the two.
Yeah.
And that's the only meal that I'd want company for. I'd want that babysitter.
Yeah.
At that age, that's bad. No,
how old was she? Right?
She was like, she's probably 19. Can we break an average of how old she was then and how old she is now?
Do you want to be the age you were then?
I do want to be the age. Of course I do. Is that right?
I
want to be 14.
It's back to fine. Yeah.
No, yeah, I want to be old enough that it's conceivable.
But do you have all your thoughts and memories that you have now? Because that.
Yeah, that's not all right. Because then you're the one with the power again.
Yeah, you can't go. Oh, I wish I was 14 again with all of my thoughts now, and then I can chat up a 19-year-old babysitter.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. No,
that's what all the baddies think to themselves.
Yeah, and then I'm going to do a spell on the babysitter.
I'll do a spell. I'll bury the shirt. Bury the shirt, but I'll do a spell.
Then she'll fall in love with me.
I'd like just you to track her down now. Then that's fine. Just how she is now.
What's her full name?
There's probably a million.
Benito can decide if he bleeps it or not. It's coming out. Can't you stain in?
You can bleep. You can bleep that. That'd be funny.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. Yeah, you didn't hear it the first time.
Just bleep juice.
That's funny. That is perhaps the name that I'd give to the end result of my dessert after you've poured everything on. That's what we call that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Lemon, sugar paper, Percy Pig combination. Yeah.
I mean, that carpeted table that's a write-off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've never
seen
that.
You get to
that
take
again.
That home. It's like Harry Ramsden's when you get a certificate for eating all those chips. And, yeah, well, you used to. I don't do it anymore.
My dad did that once. We went to Harry Ramsden's.
Yeah.
Humble break.
Yeah, come on.
You had to eat like a mass. It was like double portion of chips, wasn't it? And like a huge bit of fish and mushy peas double mushy peas, I think. And if you ate all of it, you got a free pudding. And we were on our way somewhere. We were on the motorway, and he did that, and he finished it, got a free pudding.
Did you respect him?
No. And then the waitress came over and went, "We had some Japanese tourists, the whole family, in the other day, and they shared one of those." That made him feel worse.
Harry Ramsden's, man.
Yeah,
it's a funny name. Always makes me laugh. It's Harry Ramsden. It's funny.
It
is funny.
Yeah.
Hello, my name's Harry Ramsden. What? You're joking.
What you like to say it that way is the way you say Ramsden is quite funny.
Yeah.
You come in with a soft R.
Anything with an R, he loves saying it.
Yeah, I love saying it. It's funny.
Bananarama.
Bananarama, I'll say that.
Banana Nana.
I'll say that if you like.
I'll say it.
Yeah, banana. I know we've given Gwen Stefani the job, but surely Bananarama are in with a shout of advertising the banana.
Banana Nan.
Yeah.
Banana Nan.
How did we not get to...
Fucking why have we not done that?
Oh, that took too long.
I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it.
Thanks.
Water. You want sparkling water?
Yes, please.
Poppins with bread. Banana Nan. I deliberately left the pause.
Yeah.
Starter. Burrata caprese salad.
No.
From the Gaucho?
Yep.
Main course, chicken kebab, chips and burger sauce and cheeseburger from Orsett Best Kebab. Side, Bombay potatoes. Drink, the pussy pig. dessert, 1 pound of lemon sherbet with the babysitter.
If I can just quickly amend that last one, a pound's worth rather than a pound in weight.
Yeah. Pound's worth.
A pound's worth.
Pound's worth, not a pound in weight.
Yeah.
1 quid's worth, served by the wife and not the husband of the happy shopper.
That's so sweet that you remembered that, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, we don't want
the husband.
I want happy sherbet.
Do you want a pound's worth as it was then or as it was now?
Then,
because you barely get any now,
wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Bloody economy.
Not worth it.
Thanks so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant,
Thank
Jordan.
Thank you very much. It's been so joyous.
Thank you, Jordan.
Lovely boys.
There we are. Thank you very much to Jordan for coming in.
Thank you, Jordan. A wonderful menu. Wonderful insight.
I don't think it was a wonderful menu.
No.
I think it was a lovely nostalgic menu.
Yes.
And I like those ones too, where it clearly means a lot to someone. It sort of triggers memories with them of a good time.
Mm-hmm.
That's not one of the menus where I'm like, I can't wait to go to Orsett Best Kebab.
Sure.
Well, I can't now. It's burnt down.
The van burnt down. I mean, obviously I want to try the pussy pig.
Yeah, James wants to try the pussy pig.
So obviously I'd like to do that. So that's, you know.
Do you promise to record a video of you trying the pussy pig?
Yes, if I ever sample the pussy pig.
You heard it here. James is going to try the pussy pig. He's going to take a video of it and we'll put it on the off menu social media accounts.
Yeah.
And it might be retweeted by Jordan, who is Tall Dark Friend on social media.
Follow her on all platforms and look out for anything that Jordan's doing. And thank you, Jordan, for not saying the secret ingredient. Didn't say quail.
No quail.
Really appreciate that.
Also, Best Kebab, do not do quail.
Imagine if they did. They wouldn't be burning that place down.
No.
If it had those a quail in it.
No way.
Maybe they would have. Maybe they would have gone, run out of money.
Yeah, no one's
they would have been
quail.
Bankrupt a lot quicker.
Yeah, it'd be a
if
big,
they had quail.
Big left turn to say, we do quail now.
Yeah. Bad luck. You better burn that place to the ground.
Thank you so much to Jordan. Don't forget to listen to her podcast, Transplaining. Bye-bye. We'll see you next week.
See you later.
Suckers.
Suckers!
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.